Hi everyone, welcome to my podcast, Zimbabweans What's Next, where I'm featuring software developers from Zimbabwe. And today I have somebody that I've been looking forward to record with for a long time. His name is Taku. Taku, welcome to the podcast.
Hello everyone. Yeah, hello Yasha. Thank you for having me. It's a bit surreal being on the speaker side because usually I'm listening, but I'm very excited to get a chance to talk to you as well.
And that has nothing to do with him being not qualified, by the way. Like, I used to host Twitter spaces, and I would hope, I hope Taku comes and he says something. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, does he think he's too good for my spaces or he's too good for my podcast? But I really wanted to have you on because I love your input. For people who don't know, Taku is a software engineer at Microsoft, but I'm sure there's a lot more to you. So for people who don't know who you are, tell them, who is Taku?
Thank you. I think before I begin, I just wanted to acknowledge that we're in February. February is Black History Month in North America. So I think being here speaks to me like more vividly because there are a lot of Zimbabweans that are doing excellent stuff all over the world. So yeah, so thank you for having me. So jumping into your question, Taku, who is Taku? I don't know. I think one of my identities, so I think I have several identities, is I am an aspiring community builder, and it just so happens that I can achieve that through software engineering. So I am early career. I have about 4 months worth of experience in the field.
That's interesting to know you're a community builder. And I do see that with your passion, obviously, with one of the things you work in, Black Boys Who Code. I'm not sure if I stated it right, but we'll get into that. But first things first, like, I've always been curious, why is your username on Twitter like Taku the Villain? I mean, as a community builder, I'm kind of like, okay.
Yes. So that moniker, the whole villain persona, it's inspired by one of my favorite musicians. Used to go by MF Doom. Incidentally, he's also half Zimbabwean. So during the pandemic, I really struggled with that sense of identity, as in like that whole concept that we're not a static person, like we always have the chance to better ourselves. So MF Doom himself, he had a very tragic accident. He lost his brother. He used to be part of a rap group. And then he went quiet for like several years because he was depressed, even lost his home at some point. And then he was able to reinvent himself and came back as the master villain. So I just like that whole idea of improvement, self-improvement.
Right. So I am curious then, when did you move to North America? Because I think that will also help me. I also had my phases of, like, you know, understanding Blackness and diversity. When did you move here?
So I did my high school or my pre-tertiary education in Zim.
Okay.
And then I moved over here in 2017 for my freshman year.
Oh, same. Okay, so you went to school in Canada or in the US?
In Canada.
Okay. Tell me, what is the, I guess we can talk about, we shouldn't worry about making people uncomfortable, but what is the Black experience in Canada?
I think Canada is a very interesting place because there's a big contrast depending on where you're located. So traditionally on the West, there's fewer Black people. I think I was reading 1.6% of the population in Metro Vancouver, where I reside. So being here, it was a bit of a shocker for me because you're coming from Zim, where your identity is like the everyday experience. And then moving into a place where not only is there no strong community ties. You're already in the minority, and then being in tech like just compounded on that experience, because tech is already traditionally not very diverse. So I think I had a lot of growth, particularly during the pandemic, because I had a bit of identity crisis during then. But I think I've come out of it a better and stronger person.
I know this is supposed to be a tech podcast, but are you comfortable sharing like some of that in where it came from?
Yes. So where I came from. So my last 2 years of high school.
Oh no. I mean, talking about the identity crisis.
So it did begin in high school, because my last 2 years of high
Oh,
school.
okay, sorry. Yeah,
Yes,
go ahead.
nice. I was fortunate enough to attend an American high school. And in that experience, I realized celebrating my African heritage was something that was important to me, because they used to value those kind of stuff. And then moving over to Canada, I did not have the same outlet. All I thought about was just school, school, school. And then when the pandemic hit, a lot of international students were stuck within dormitories, the school dormitories. And then that break, not only are you away from home, like you don't even have your friends to provide you with comfort and companionship. Yeah, that put me like on a very rocky ledge. Then a few incidents happened at university involving violence being perpetrated on the black
Black
students.
students.
Yeah, and then that's when I felt the need to reinvent myself and participate more in building communities around the interests I have, which include software engineering.
Right. Sorry, I keep wanting to go deep and see where this is coming from. But when you say identity crisis, is it more like looking at how the world views Black people and having a struggle with that, or struggling with actually being Black and accepting, the nuances and what comes with being Black? Like, I really want to understand, is it like the external or the internal influence?
I guess at some point, or depending on what school of thought you fall into, I think the externalities lead to like an internal struggle. So for me, prior to this experience, I did not seek to. I did not seek to explore that part of myself. Yes.
Kind of the privilege of not even having to think about it at all, so.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I think it was just fighting with that notion that I just can't live on ignoring that part of my identity.
Yeah. I think that is so interesting, right? In America, there is, I think in Canada at least, the Black population is mostly immigrants. In America, there's also this thing where there is Black people who are descendants of people who were enslaved, and there are Black people who are Caribbean, African, whatever. And it can also, I faced the struggle where it was like, just because someone is Black doesn't mean you're gonna get along, it's gonna be okay. Because sometimes you find comfort in, like, oh, I'm in a space with Black people, and they are rich, first class Wall Street people, and you feel like, okay, I don't belong. So I think it's also recognizing that Blackness is not monolithic, and I think it's about finding people who accept you for who you are, because I think I'm past, not that I'm past the Blackness stage, But I also recognize that they are black toxic people and they are white Asian cool people. I think ultimately it's finding people who accept you. And I wish that for everybody. So yeah, let's talk about your involvement with Black Boys Code. Why specific, how did you get into that organization? What inspired you to continue doing work there?
So my inspiration came from the realization that at some point I was nearing about 2 years of experience in the industry, and I'd never worked with a black person before, which is very weird because in university I did have a couple people in the same classes, but then once you get into the industry, like something is missing. Either we're funneled into different fields or people do not receive that mentorship to continue growing in it. So Black Boys Code, I heard about it through a friend. And at that point, the Vancouver chapter had kind of gone on pause because there were not enough willing people to participate in it. So yeah, it's been a bit of a journey, just getting on the awareness and also opening up a girls section as well. So now we have two sections. We have one for the boys and one for the girls. And then sometimes we have joint workshops. So like for today, we're going to have a hackathon with both boys and girls. So we usually target pre-university kids. And then pretty much what we're trying to do is just invoke that interest in them. And also just assure them that they also belong in these spaces as well.
Why do you think it's important for minorities to be involved within tech?
I think for any product or service that has impact on wider society, I think generally it's always good to have inclusion. So, for example, I was reading in the late 1900s when the automobile industry was really firing up. They noticed that a lot of women passengers were unlikely to be involved in accidents, tended to have more severe injuries. And the reason for that was whilst they were testing seat belts, they only used male-sized figures because they just never thought like women obviously are going to be in cars. But then since the development team was not diverse, like stuff like that just falls through the cracks. And then generally, I think tech is just going to become more and more part of our lives, going to be part of our everyday experience, like very important that its usage takes into account that different people are going to be using it. In the late 2010s, I think there was a big story in the US where a facial recognition system misidentified a black father as a criminal, even though he was innocent. And then reading that whole story about the trauma of being subjected to that in front of his family just because of inefficiencies or deficiencies in a program like that really shook me. And then I think that's why it's very important to incorporate everyone into it.
Yeah, good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was rating it, but it's yeah, when I think about it, exactly like you said, tech is going to be present in the future. Like there's no way to take it away now. And so there's a lot of employment opportunities there for people who want to make money and be financially independent. There's a lot of opportunities to be creative, to create something groundbreaking. And also just exactly like you're saying, these services that we're using, we want to be a part of it because Yeah, those instances. I thought you were going to talk about when they classified a black person like a gorilla. That's why I was already laughing. And then you were like, oh, as a criminal. And I was like, oh, it's going to look bad on the video because I was laughing. We do not laugh about the criminal justice system here in North America. What's it like working at Microsoft as a software engineer? What have you learned the past? You joined last year, right? You've been there for some months. Yeah, tell us what it's been like and yeah, just your experience there.
So I think being in that space has really been awesome. Like I remember 2 weeks ago, I was just hanging out with a couple of workmates. And then for some reason, we started talking about TCP, which is like a network protocol. Then one of my workmates was like, "Oh yeah, I know someone who knows someone who's working on QUIC." So QUIC is the new proposed protocol that's going to replace TCP. So just those stories, hearing those stories, like I'm a big nerd, so stuff like that is very fascinating to me. So I think being in an environment where curiosity is everyone's thing, like very satisfying in a way. And then something else I've really enjoyed is that I think I have a multiplier effect in the sense that stuff that I work on in the afternoon can impact several millions of people. I think maybe something to do with my persona or anything, but I think improving someone's day-to-day life in such a small way across thousands or millions of different people is just very satisfying. Like it feels like I'm living or giving something to the world. So I've really enjoyed that. Then the mentorship, the office vibe, it's been really nice. Although of course the layoffs as well has been a bit scary, but yeah, overall I think it's been a 9 out of 10 experience.
Yeah, there's obviously been a lot of layoffs going on. I don't know if this is Microsoft's second round or something like that, but how do you stay in that environment? How have you been dealing with all of it?
It was very, very difficult. And I think something that I also realize is since tech is not di very diverse, like when I was talking to people, like some people are saying, oh, this could be an opportunity, which is true, to do some other stuff. Like I have a workmate who was saying, like, the last time they got laid off, they got the chance to distribute their own Linux distro and run it for a couple of years, just like very awesome. But I think as an immigrant, it's a bit scary as well because all your
Your
immigrant,
visa.
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been very scary. But I think rallying up as African students, there's a support channel that I have access to for Africans at Microsoft, and then just having that rallying call, like, don't worry, guys, we're going to look out for each other, check in, regular check-ins, do events just to take us off those layoffs. It's been really nice. Really nice. Despite the bad news, obviously.
Yeah. So you talked about being a community builder and how tech is one of the ways you could do it. Do you have other plans that you could possibly see in the future which have nothing to do with tech? Like, what other goals do you have? Especially given that you also said you are multidimensional. So.
Putting me in the spotlight, huh? One of the most influential events that happened to me, I remember I was in grade 10. So we were going to school, right? This is in Harare. And then, you know, some children, because of the unfortunate circumstances, they walk to school. So there was a kid that was trying to cross the road, and I think the driver was just not paying attention. And then he hit the kid. And then I remember my family, we stopped. They were like trying to get help so we can rush him to the hospital. But shockingly, like no one stopped, like everyone just went on with their day-to-day life. So I think one of my goals eventually, I'm gonna somehow contribute to readily accessible schools in Zimbabwe so that kids do not have to subject themselves to those like dangerous situations. Like, I don't think it's viable as a society for some kids to have to walk, I don't know, 2 hours one way just to access one of their fundamental rights. So I think that's one passion that eventually I want to pursue later on in the future. Hopefully the problem is solved by then. I don't think it should drag on for another 10 years while I prepare myself to partake in that. But who knows?
I'm sorry to let you know, but the problem is probably gonna still be there. There's a lot of work to do in that country. I don't know, when was the last time you're in Zimbabwe?
2018. It's been quite a while.
Whoa, is there a reason for that besides the pandemic?
I was unlucky enough that unlucky is not the right word. I was in the internship program at university, and then most internships are in the summer. And that's like the most ideal time to go home. Because if you go home during other semesters, you kind of jeopardize your immigration status.
Well, unless you go in December, right?
Yeah, you could also go home in December. I was working a second job then, and I was working in residence as one of the residence assistants. I think that's what you guys call them down south. Yeah. So someone needs to stay behind for the people who don't have somewhere to go during Christmas, and that privilege fell on me.
Oh, that's nice that you call it a privilege. Well, I hope you get to go home soon because one of the people I think you admire or who you like adore, love is your mom. Tell me about your mom and her role in your life. I know you've tweeted things like Musanye pair with my mom will always come first, and I'm like worried for the women in your life. Yeah, tell me about your mom and how she influences you and stuff.
Something I've really enjoyed as part of growing up is just having stronger relationship with my mom. Because like for example, right now I feel comfortable talking about mental health with her and all my dreams and aspirations. So she has been a very central figure in my life, not just emotionally like that, but also intellectually. So my mom did pharmacy in university. So I remember as a kid, I used to like read through her notes and like be all fascinated with chemistry. I think I was just like you. I think you said your first love was chemistry. I was like, yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like chemistry was my thing. The early days. And I think that's just because my mom nurtured that curiosity in me.
That's really cool. And that's cool of you to remember that chemistry was my first love. I'm like, where did you hear this? But it was probably a podcast. Yeah, so one of the other tweets that I saw you wrote was, I want to move to NYC so bad. You'll be bad mouthing, but I don't care. It's the greatest city in the world. Give us a little more context.
I am really into the New York music scene. So, for example, Wu-Tang and all those guys, like when they used to sing about the experiences in Brooklyn, kind of appealed to me in a way. Although I realize it's also like a very glamorous view that I have, and it's probably not going to be the same once I get the chance to visit. But New York has always been the place I dreamed I would move to after Zim.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I get that perspective of like cities or places in the world where there's like the glamorized view and then there's the reality. And even though the reality is there are people who struggle, there's a lot of homelessness, it's filthy and all those things. I work in New York, and but I appreciate that you can even dream that big. Do you know what I mean? I appreciate that the city has this magic or can make you believe that you can make it, you can do music. For me, I'm into Broadway, not really hip hop. And so even though the reality is, okay, you could actually struggle and be poor, I love that it allows me to dream big. You know, it's not the same situation in, no offense, Harare, right? Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of things you could do, but especially it depends with if you're like in the real upper middle class. I don't think we have a middle class. If you're really one of the super rich people, yeah, Harare is a place where you could see your dreams really coming true, but not for many people. So I love the fact that even though with New York, it might not be real for everyone, you it's possible almost. Like for me, my story is if anyone gave me something to just hold on to dream big, I would take it, you know, and use it to push me to the next level. But in many situations, if I hadn't gotten that opportunity and I was stuck in a box of like, oh, I'm just in this neighborhood, whatever, I don't think I would have even gotten a chance to dream big. I know I like ramble, but all I'm saying is, I appreciate a place that actually makes you want to dream, even though it's not always reality. And I think New York is that. And you're welcome to come to New York. And another thing I've seen you talk about is patriarchy is so pervasive, we all end up confusing it with human nature. Give us a little context to that. Should I repeat? Because I feel like I ran
And I
over it.
remember the trait you're talking about.
Okay.
Some people claim that men are naturally non-monogamous.
Oh my God. How? Sorry, I don't want to steal your moment, but I was in Zim. Okay, I'm stealing your moment. I'm so sorry. I was in Zim literally this holiday, minding my own business, getting passport photos and stuff. And then the guy who was doing them was like, oh, you are from the US where women have too many rights. And then he started giving me this lecture of like, men are naturally polygamous and stuff, and I'm like, boy, I'm not trying to hear you. Like, I don't care. Like, anyways, go on. But basically, I know that BS.
Yes, yeah. And then you also hear stuff like women are naturally caregivers, whereas men are more on the task different kind of things, like you just need to get the task done. But I think people are just conflating patriarchal society norms with human nature. Like, I don't think anyone is born with the mindset that they can have as many partners as they want, because it just happened to be a man. So I think that's where that truth was coming from.
Oh my God. It's just that today I'm not super passionate about that subject. I mean, I'm okay, I am, but I'm not like level 100. But oh my God, I feel like that's one of the biggest problems in society, period. Like the patriarchy, white supremacy, transphobia, homophobia, whatever, all those oppressive systems where people basically, I don't know, we don't even know. Like, people don't have all the answers, but they want to assume that whatever they got from their grandmother, who got it from their great grandmother, let's stay in that linear way of thinking. But you're not even God, or you're not even the creed. Like, who are you, right? And so that makes me super angry. And I've had so many conversations with guys that I thought were smart. And they'll tell me the same thing. Oh, as a man, I need respect. As a man, I think that's why I kind of follow you and like you. Not kind of. Like I've seen that. I think you're a little more progressive and you know what you're doing. And it's just a shame that not only a lot of men, like 9 out of 10 men, are patriarchal, and prejudiced, it's also women. I think that's the thing with these. I'm reading this book. Sorry, I'm now rambling because I'm so passionate. I'm reading this book called Patriarchy Blues by Frederick Jo Joseph, and he talks about how in these systems, it's not just the person who's benefiting who ends up perpetuating like white supremacy, right? It's the white men or white people who benefit. But then you see black people being colorist, you know, like the yellow girls are the pretty ones. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. But and then women also being like training, like every day growing up, I would be told, you're waking up late. That's not what a good wife does. Or you need to be a good cook. And how I'm a literal engineer, but in my family, no offense to you guys who are watching, and my dad watches my podcast and I love him and he's great, but I know that I just don't have the same respect as my brother who is a doctor simply because I'm a woman. And yeah, we need to do better as a human race because guess what? The thing is, the patriarchy, it also damages men. They don't want to listen. So I feel bad because then sometimes when I see like the suicidal rates of men being high or men being like, oh, we're not allowed to cry, we're not allowed to do this. And I'm like, well.
Yes, I think you're definitely right that patriarchy just does not harm women and children. It's also very harmful to men, and I think it's very sad that we perpetuate like structures that are ultimately harmful to us just because people want to exercise power or, you know, whatever
Yeah.
BS they used to
And it's
justify it.
not really power if you think about it. Like if your power lies in you controlling somebody else, it means you're scared of them and what they could do. And so you resort to controlling them because you actually cannot stand on the same level with them and do anything. So maybe check yourself to the men watching this. And the funny thing is, like when men come and talk to me or whatever, they be proper. I mean, there are a few ones who come to me and like they really show me that they are horrible. But most of them like will hide. And I just want to say, please don't stop being fake woke and fake whatever because you're trying to get the girl who's against you because, oh, it's good to chase the girl who's like stubborn and stuff. Like, okay, I probably should talk to my therapist. About those things, but F you to those people. Yeah, anyways, I was going to say, now that we're approaching the end, we'll ask some questions to get to know you. I think already you talked about some of the musicians you listen to, but is Tuku still on your playlist? I know he was your top artist last year or something.
Yes, I still listen to Chukwu, and now I'm also trying to get into Thomas Mavuno. Like, he has a very interesting sound. I was talking to a friend, and they were saying Thomas Mavuno's sound is just like Beethoven's, in the sense that it's classic, and should not expect it to change because it's already perfection in itself like that. So, trying to see where
Damn.
he's coming from, but yeah, it's been very interesting.
Damn. I love people who think, you know, in ways that are not linear. Okay, I just like what I heard. I don't know how to express it. If you were to build an app, what would it be about?
Also build an app. Okay, I guess I might as well just plug my project I'm working on right now. So I am working on a compiler because I've been always interested in how what the entire pipeline is from high level languages all the way into machine code. I think compilers are just really cool in that way because there's like a lot of theory that leads to like certain decisions that you make during your implementation. So if I was to write any app, I'll probably want to write something within that space.
You have the opportunity to shout out three people. Who are you going to give a shout out to?
Well, number one has to be my mom. She probably is not going to listen to this podcast because I want her to know I want to surprise visit her. So I'll play to her like once I get home. But yeah, shout out to my mom. The second group of people, I want to say shout out to people at Black Voice Code. Yeah, they're doing amazing work. And then the third person I want to say shout out to is yourself. I remember the very first episode I watched, you were talking about totems very long back. This was like mid-pandemic. I'm like, oh, okay. What's this all about? So I think it's really nice that you give space for Zimbabweans who are doing excellent work in their different fields, a chance just to talk about their passions.
Thank you. Well, you have the opportunity as well to say something to somebody listening to this podcast, who is not maybe doing very well right now. What would you tell them?
I would say that everyone's dreams are valid. So they should keep that fire burning within themselves. Like whatever they want to achieve, it's possible despite the environment, lack of support, and like all the other external stuff going on. Like your dreams are still valid.
That is very cool. It's been an honor talking to you, Taku. Thank you for seeing my platform is worthy for your greatness. I have been following you on Twitter, obviously, and you're one of those people that actually, when I tweet something and you like it, I'm like, that was probably good. Like, if Taku liked it and stuff, where, how can people reach you who want to talk to you? And what can they, what do you want to collaborate or help people on?
So anyone looking for resources, can have a lot of free resources, programming, intro to programming, or mastering their profession, can link them up with that. And then also people looking for internship experience and want to get into that whole mindset of applying and like just reiterating on your portfolio. I'm available for that. You can reach me through Twitter at TacoVillain, or you can also find me on LinkedIn as well.
Haku the villain. Thank you so much. Oh, for anyone else who wants to be a part of this podcast, I have a form on my Twitter, the pinned post, which you can go to and fill out your details and I'll look at it. Or you can DM me or anyway, leave a YouTube comment, leave a comment on. I think you can also leave comments on Spotify or Anchor these days. So do that. We want to hear your story. Thank you very much. Goodbye.